And in fact, this week Rhode Island became the latest to allow authorities to take guns away from people who are at risk of being violent. Five other states have already had these red flag laws on the books, and more are considering them after the Florida shooting. Indiana's Attorney General Curtis Hill told President Trump about his state's red flag law during a meeting last week at the White House.
It gets us past the issue of the person's mental illness. We address the taking of the guns. We get them in court. They're allowed to have their day in court. But in the meantime, we're able to cool down this process and take the guns from someone.
Now, supporters say laws like this might have prevented the Parkland shooting. So let's bring in Kimball Richardson. He's a licensed mental health counselor with Community Health Network in Indianapolis. Kimball, welcome.
Thank you so much.
These red flag laws are a little bit different in every state. How does it work where you are in Indiana?
It works in Indiana such that a police officer can either search and or seize a weapon if they believe a person is at imminent risk for harming themselves or other people, and the person either has a mental illness and has not been taking their medication appropriately or following treatment protocols, or there's evidence that suggests the person might be violent and emotionally unstable.
Let's talk about that evidence. From your perspective as a mental health worker, I mean, is there a time when you feel it is the appropriate time to invoke this law? What does it look like? How do you know?
Well, we had a situation where that happened recently. A citizen called a hotline and said, I'm having thoughts of killing myself and I'm in a storage area and I have a gun. So the person working on the hotline called the police. The police went out and found the person. The person was not in a storage area. They were actually in their car, but they were close to a storage area so that they were then able to, with probable cause and with prosecutor's consent, invoke, we call it here in Indiana, the Jake Laird Law after one of our Indianapolis Metropolitan Police officers died.
Well, I'll just tell that story quickly. This was in 2005, the law was passed. A mentally ill man killed a police officer. Now, he had his guns taken away when he was committed in an emergency situation, but then was able to get those guns back and then subsequently killed the officer. So, you know, that's the fascinating thing about what's happened in Indiana. It's a very conservative state. It's very gun friendly. One in three adults I see own a gun in Indiana, and yet this law passed easily through the legislature. What does that say to you?
Well, I think that they listened to the fact that one of our public safety professionals had to lose his life. This didn't have to happen. And the right people were behind it, I think, and the timing was right. I think this was a common sense issue. We've probably, since the law has been enacted in 2005, at least in the Indianapolis area, have used it about 800 times, I understand.
Unlike most other states, Indiana does not require a judge's order. A police officer can just take this gun.
Well, initially, okay? Initially that can happen, but they do have to file the appropriate paperwork so that the judge can then determine, was this done appropriately and do we still continue to seize the weapon, or does the citizen need to have it returned?
So there aren't concerns about due process and whether or not someone would have that gun taken away who didn't deserve it.
That's right. And then, you know, even if a gun is taken away and it's found to have been for an appropriate reason and all the procedures were followed, they still have a hearing about approximately 2 weeks later. And then even if it remains in police hands, they can request another hearing in 180 days. And so they're still continuing to determine, are they able to not be violent or not hurt themselves or others? So there's lots of ways to make sure that that process is appropriate.
Well, as you know, the vast majority of people who have a mental illness, they're not going to go shoot up a school. They're not going to necessarily commit murder. I mean, they may be at higher risk of suicide for sure. But, I mean, do you think there is a risk that laws like these, as they become more popular or more considered around the country, that they would target people who aren't truly a risk?
Well, that's why we have to have mental health professionals involved in the conversation to make sure two things. One, that mental illness is not targeted just because someone has a mental illness, because there has to be a threat. and two, to make sure that the process is followed appropriately and that we're working with law enforcement to make sure it all works in tandem.
You mentioned it's been invoked about 800 times in Indianapolis. Do you think the law has made your state safer?
Well, I'd like to think so. I do know that not all police departments use it or are even as familiar with it as we'd like them to be. So we want all law enforcement agencies to know that this is an option that they have to keep people safe.
Do you think awareness has changed since Parkland?
Yeah, absolutely it has. Yep. I believe so.
That's Kimball Richardson. He's a licensed mental health counselor with Indiana's Community Health Network. Kimball, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.